How many of you know in this moment that He reigns? He's alive. And you know how God reigns? You know how He reigns? He's in you. He is in you. And that kingdom wants to get out, yeah? That's the church. You may be seated. And y'all been great today. I just want to just thank God for just, you know, His presence is here today in a very real way. It's here all the time in a real way. And God's presence is always available. But then there are those moments that we kind of wake up to God's reality. That's what really happens. Now, I want to begin to teach you something. Do y'all realize this? God wants us to live in His full potential all the time. That's God's desire. However, I don't live up to my full potential all the time. Do y'all ever have that problem? I get to doing my own thing. How many of y'all get to doing your own thing? And how many of y'all have ever done your own thing before? How many of y'all have even been in this boat? God, I'm going to show you what I'm thinking will work. Just watch me. Just watch me. And what happens? God goes, come on. Come back here, honey. That's not going to what? It's not going to work. So I want to talk today as we grow and we mature. First thing I want you to realize, we got a great God. Remember that sermon? That's the first sermon in August. We got a great God. We got a God that is bigger than the life we face. How many of y'all come to that reality? That reality will start stepping you into God's activity. We are a part of worshiping a God, praying to a God, learning the teachings of a God, being in relationship with one another, with a God that's bigger than our own reality. Maybe you're trying to figure out, I wonder if God really worked today. Well, now just think about it. How many of y'all got a hunch that there might be something bigger than you in this deal? That as you live out life, you go, maybe something greater than humans put this thing together. There is a God. Well, that's wonderful, but guess what? That God doesn't want you to just know that He exists. God wants you to be connected to His reality. Notice, this is where it gets powerful. God wants you to be connected to the reality of heaven. How many of y'all think that's a pretty good idea? I'm going to be connected to the reality of heaven. Well, now watch this. I'm going to show you something with you. Now, you get, now that allows us, the connection point happens what? Through repentance. Remember, we talked about that last week. You got to get to repentance. We've kind of left this repentance deal out of you. You notice that? We've been brokering deals for God. And some of us preachers have been some bad brokers because we left out this repentance deal. God's not asking you to agree that He exists. He's not asking for that. If I took a Gallup poll survey, which Gallup poll has taken, and you ask Americans, do you believe in God? 95% of Americans will say, yes. Here's what they're confessing. We believe there's a higher power beyond ourselves that exists, i.e., God. That's not the gospel. The gospel says, don't believe I exist. The gospel says, embrace and receive what I have. Now, that's a different deal, isn't it? I have grace and mercy and forgiveness, and I want that to be in your life. Remember kind of the formula to repentance here? First thing, you got to realize, hey, I need God. I need a new life. I need a new life. So I ask God to come into my what? Life. Why? Because without Him, you're dead. How many of y'all got that down so far? Come on, work with me, balcony. How many of y'all got that down? This is not a good, bad deal. This is a dead or alive deal. Without Jesus, I'm what? So let me ask you a question. If you put life into you, are you going to get a new nature? Absolutely. Now you're going to have a living nature. And now from that living nature, you're going to begin to reorder your mind. How many of y'all need to get some mind reorder? We need to rethink. How many of y'all ever need to rethink? Okay, here's what grace allows me to do. It allows me to get a new nature, which allows me to rethink what I used to be. And it allows me to rethink also what I can be. Isn't that cool? It reorders my mind. Now, once I reorder my mind, what happens to my actions? They're going to change. Now, don't get that backwards. Warning, warning, warning. Don't get that backwards. Or you will be a miserable religious person, plaguing the rest of us. Don't do it backwards. You'll become spiritually bipolar. There's a lot of spiritually bipolar people. They're trying to have all these holy actions without a new life. And it's really gross. Because if you got to act holy, you're not. The Bible doesn't call us to act holy. It calls us to be holy. That's a big difference. And the first step of being holy is you got to be forgiven. So it starts with the forgiveness of God. And that reorders my thinking, which eventually gets me to a whole new set of actions, right? My actions will not change my eternity. Has everybody got that? Jesus' actions, however, change everything. So when we sang that song, the kingdom of God shall reign. Well, where's the kingdom of God reigning? You ready? This is so cool. This is where it really gets so fun. The kingdom of God is in you. Would you agree with that? So where does the kingdom of God reign? At Greenwood High School. At Bowling Green, at Warren Central, at Franklin, at Glasgow, Byrne County, Edmondson County, Butler County, junior high schools, elementary schools, businesses. God even goes to law offices. What do you think about that? God's in the judicial system. God's in everything. Come on, hold on, follow me here. God's in business. Isn't that cool? Tony Rhodes, every time you're doing business, what's God doing? He's doing business through you. Isn't that cool? You a businessman, but whose kingdom are you in? Jesus. Businessman, businesswoman, business person, doing business with the kingdom of God. Is that not cool or what? Can't just think about it. Yeah, you do two business. Your first business is kingdom business, and then God gave you, a business on the side to run that with. Yeah? How many of y'all want to do God's business? Well, what is that to do? It is to let the kingdom of God reign in your life. Reign. So it gives us to the big O that I'm going with here on grow, overcome. How many of y'all are glad to know that you and I in Jesus Christ are capable of overcoming the adversity of life? Now, let's get straight up. Life is tough. It's tough. You get sick. You can get determined to disease. You can have a car accident. We malfunction all the time. How many of y'all have noticed this? We malfunction. Sometimes we get depressed. Sometimes we get oppressed. Sometimes we're hyper. Sometimes we're not. Tragedy hits our lives. Hurricanes can blow up cities built, 7 feet below sea level. Because we're brilliant. Storm's not going to get what? Us. You see what I'm saying? Life is tough. Jesus is tougher. Now, some of you want to go, why does God let this happen? Why not? Why not? You know what God's trying to tell us? Every day I wake up, guess what God's reminding me of? I've kind of have this moment now in life. Every day I wake up, I find a new part in my body that hurts. I still try to work out a little bit and that kind of stuff. And now what I do is when I go to the gym, I don't build up, I tear up stuff. Just tears up all the time. Okay? So I have to be careful. It's kind of funny. I'm going, okay, I'm not doing that. They go, there'll always be some young cocky dude like these guys. Look over here. How much can you lift? Not as much as you want me to. Why? Because I'm going to tear something up. Now, Dr. Cox, he still lifts a house or two. When he's bench pressing, he'll go, oh, how much are you going to do? I said, not that much, because I'm going to tear something up. What's God letting me know? What's God really letting me know? Somebody needs to get a new God. Did God let me know it's over? No, he's letting me know this is not forever. This dimension is not forever. Man, one of the things that will help you overcome in a very sincere way is to realize this dimension is not forever. So quit getting so caught up in a very temporary moment. I'm glad to know that when something tragic happens, that's not forever. When a doctor says, you got cancer, Harris, I can look at him and say, in the name of Jesus, not forever. for a moment, but not forever. See, we got to wake up with His power. Listen, I've taken a survey. Everybody's going to die. You know, it hurts when people die. I don't like it when people die. I don't like it. I said, God, why couldn't we just do that Star Trek thing? Just boom. We die. Why don't we die? We die because we die. We're humans. We die. Let me tell you something. If I didn't believe we died, I wouldn't preach the gospel. But we've messed this whole Christianity thing up, man. We have messed it up in America. The church has been selling a ticket to heaven for about 60 years. That's not the deal, man. That's Americanized stuff. That's the wrong kingdom. That's the magic kingdom down in Orlando. That's a mouse, not a Christ. I'm talking about the kingdom of God that says this: you can live forever. You can live forever. And when do we start living in the kingdom of God? As soon, Eric, guess where you're living now? In the kingdom of God, brother. Now, it's a big place, and it's going to take a whole eternity to figure it all out. What do you think about that? But it starts when? Right now. Everybody you saw that was expressing their salvation, guess what? Their moment of eternity started the minute that Jesus entered their reality. Does that help some of y'all out? So guess what? I think here's our problem. How many of y'all are always going to heaven? You know, Mitch, you ever heard that? We're going to heaven. We're going to heaven. You know, we're getting this rhythm, man. You know, so we're getting this rhythm. I'm going to go to heaven one day. Everything's going to be all right. What? I mean, if you're a gospel music fan, they always sing about one sweet day, one day, swinging low, train coming, carry me on, I'm going to get there. All right? Now, here's the problem. Jesus says you're already there. Jesus says you're not going there. I've put there in you. Look at your neighbor. Come on, look at them. They're strange, unusual, but very cool people, yeah? Brother, guess who's in you? Jesus. Since Jesus is in you, guess what is in there? The power of heaven. Does that not blow you away? I don't want to embarrass you or anything, but does that not blow you away? Marshall, what is in your reality? God's kingdom. Wow! So I wonder what the church should be. We ought to be a heaven-releasing group. You know what you're sitting next to? The power of heaven. The potential of heaven. The possibility of heaven. The kingdom of God is Christ. Jesus never leaves us. Is this not amazing? So I want to show us just a couple of things. Man, I want you to become overcomers today. Now I want you to really hear this message. Especially you young people. Guess what? Some of y'all are doing it, man. I'm proud of y'all. Some of y'all got hooked on, wired up, high wattage to the Holy Spirit, and you've said no to a lot of stuff that messes young people up. I'm proud of you. You don't have to be messed up. Isn't that great? You don't have to waste a bunch of brain cells and then figure it out in your 40s one day. That's not required in humanity. Y'all been a little smarter and said, you've seen the 40-year-olds with messed up brain cells. They're saved but not smart. Have you noticed? So you can get saved and still be dumb. Have you noticed that? And you said, you know what? I'm going to do some things where I don't have to live that life. I'm going to say no to some stuff that'll kill me early. Because what? Have healthy relationships. What's wrong with that? You know what? I hope every one of you get married one day to the right person, and I hope you stay that way till you're old and you depart from this place. So what do you got to work on right now? Finding the right person. So if you don't like them for a week, I guarantee you ain't going to like them for a lifetime. So find another. Learn how to date appropriately now, so later you can have a what? A marriage. Sometimes God does cool stuff with you. God showed me Elizabeth early because He knew I was really dumb. And then God kind of like blinded Elizabeth for several years. Put her into a deep trance. And she said yes before she knew what happened. I said, honey, I got a contract from God. You're stuck in this situation. See what I'm saying? How many of y'all want to see our young people get blessed? I want them to live cool lives. Amen. What's this? Hey, I'm thankful to have a son that's grown up in a Holy Spirit-filled church. My son's gotten older now. He's in a Holy Spirit-filled church. Well, guess what? I look at his life in high school and my life in high school, and it's a lot different. And I'm glad he got his because he knows the power of the Holy Ghost. I went to church. He knows the power of the Holy Ghost. I went and just did the church thing. He knows the power of the Holy Spirit in his life. Big difference. Big difference. Because really, I mean, you can go to church and not get the deal. Amen? I mean, it's, in America, we do it all the time. You know, people go to church, dress up a little bit, carry a Bible, say some holy words, smile, you know. Go, how you doing, brother? God bless you. God bless you. Hi, sister. God bless you. Speak a bunch of religious jazz. Go to the house and nothing's changed. And Jesus says, I want to bring a change of reality into your life. Something real. Now listen to me. In the name of Jesus, you will overcome. And here's the power today. You don't have to keep doing what you've been doing. What do you think? You know, we talked about last week. Pastor Dan's with us today. They're starting a new church. Dan, one of the other reverends here, Reverend Mitchell, he found Hillview Heights Church in the Bible. It's in the story of Zacchaeus. And he said, we're a sycamore tree church. He said, we're a place where sinners can get up in our limbs so Jesus can spot them. I'm glad to be a sinner's church. Fits well for a sinful pastor. I know one thing. Only God forgives. I've found no group that can forgive me. I have found nothing that can change my life except the blood of Jesus. And I found that to be deeply true. He'll forgive us and change us. How many of y'all are glad? Now, after He's changed us, what do we get to do? We get to overcome. Go with me to James chapter 4. Live in power, church. It's time to live in power. You hear me? Live in power. We got to get rid of some things, though, to ignite the power. Three things are going to help us ignite the power today that I want you to remember. The first thing is this. You got to get over yourself. Y'all write this down. It's a big good one. I got to get over me. It's not what I want. Look what the Bible says. James chapter 4, it starts out right here. It says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? How many of y'all got some desires that battle within you? Good, we have one person in 2,000 people has some desires. What are the rest of you, datas? You don't have emotion, you don't, huh? How many of y'all got some thoughts during the week that probably wouldn't line up with what your Sunday school teacher recommended? Oh, okay, those are what I'm talking, desires! Just flat out want what I want. How many of y'all like that? I want it my way, and that's the way it's going to be, and no matter what, it's not going to be any other way. Any of y'all ever get like that? I personally do. I don't like not having my way. I never have. When I get on Scottsville Road, that's my road. Y'all need to speed up. When I go to Walmart, you know what? When I go to Walmart, I cannot believe they make me stand there for 40 minutes. When they have 500 checkout spaces, 7,000 people in there, and they open two of them. See, I think they ought to open up one for me. But I know what they're doing. They're clogging us up in there, so we'll see another one of them smiley faces with a good deal and put it in the cart too. I know the tactic. That's a great thing. I love Walmart. Look at here. Look at here. We want it our own way. First thing to activate the power of overcoming, you got to get over having it your own way. Look what he says. This causes fights and quarrels and all kinds of problems. In fact, I've taken another survey, done some research on this. I found that about 100% of the problems that are caused on this earth are caused by humans. Wars are caused by what? Cities built under sea level are designed by who? See, God warned us about that. He said, you build your house on the sand, it won't hold up. And somebody will go, well, it doesn't say right there in the Bible, you can't build one below sea level. God says, use your brain. You know, I get so tickled at people that think everything you got to do in life has got to be mentioned in the Bible, because that's not true. Nowhere in the biblical text does it say, brush your teeth. How many of y'all glad people figured that out? Nowhere in the Bible does it say, use deodorant. But how many of you are glad somebody said, let's put something that smells a little better under there? God also lets us what? Think and create and live in His nature. Number one problem is we want what we want. Look at here what He says. Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. How many of y'all just go crazy when you don't get what you want? pouting, fussing, hollering. How many of y'all do it the other way, though? You become real sweet and manipulative. It's called passive aggressive. You just look like you're wonderful when you play all these little head games with people. Those are the roughest people I deal with. I like people that just get mad. You go, rah, 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 rah. So I can go, rah, 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 rah. Well, we've accomplished a lot, haven't we? We both barked at each other. We've indicated we're both disturbed. But God says, man, I want you to be an overcomer. I want you to learn how to find solutions to your disturbance. Because here's what I'm going to tell y'all. We're going to have adversity in life. Now, I know that freaks Americans out. It's the truth. I mean, I say this all the time. We start out adverse. You come through a birth canal through some screaming woman. That ought to tell you it's not going to be a smooth ride right out of the bat. That's out of the hatch. Yeah? That's on the get-go. I mean, birth is trauma. Man, I remember when we had our kids, I went to a Lamaze class, and we had to go to 13 weeks of study to birth a human. And I looked at Elizabeth, I said, I'm going to tell you what, they didn't go to all these classes before when we all got here. Well, yeah, I figured, if you're going to have a baby, it's going to happen no matter what. You know what I'm saying? See, God's also telling us this. His life's going to happen no matter what. Nobody's going to shut it down. Nobody can take it away. Life's going to come forth if you let life come forth. Why? God's more powerful than we are. Well, if you want to engage in being an overcomer, first thing is you can't always have what you want. You quarrel and you fight. You don't have because you do not ask God. How many of y'all don't have the life you want and you need because you don't ask God about it? People all the time say, well, I'm out there seeking to find me a life. Well, why don't you ask God to give you one? Maybe you need to quit seeking. Maybe seeking's not the answer. Maybe finding's the answer. Seeking's the first start. Eventually, we got to find it, embrace it, receive it, and go with it. First thing, we can't always have what we want. If you really want to be an overcomer, you got to start desiring what God wants. Because I don't know about you, but some of the things I want hurt me. I got some desires that are not good. How many of y'all got some desires that are not good? And I go to church and have ordination papers and everything, but I still got some desires that aren't good. If I let my mind wander, it will wander into places that are not profitable. You know why? Because it's not fully renewed yet. It's partially renewed. That's why God tells me to stay out of my mind and live in my spirit. Because He knows my spirit will always lead me to life. My mind can mess me up. How many of y'all know when you start doing something you're not supposed to, you always rationalize it? Because you know you ain't going to talk to God about it. You ain't going to talk to God. God, you got. You think I ought to be shacked up living with somebody? What's God going to say? No. See, y'all all know that. Then why do you come to my office and ask me if I think He said it's all right when you already know He said no? Well, you think I got a pass or something? I know what you're going to do. You're going to get me in trouble one day. So you're going to go, hey, Pastor Steve said we could, Lord. Now, we know what you said, but He gave permission. It's His fault, ultimately. This is what we do. When we get in trouble, we want to blame it on what? And that's my second point here. It's nobody's fault but yours. See, if you're going to be an overcomer, you got to own your own weakness. Listen, I know. Listen, I think there's value in psychology. But listen, there comes a point of time that your past no longer needs to dictate your present moment. This is the gift of grace. I mean, okay, you had some bad parents. So have billions of other people. How do you explain people that had bad parents and have done great things? How do you explain Jesus? He came from a dysfunctional family. He's born in a barn. Hold on, let's just take Jesus to the therapist here for a minute. They tried to kill Him when He was 2.
Parents had fights.
I guarantee you Mary and Joseph had a scrap or two. You ride a donkey 9 months pregnant, and I guarantee you ain't happy when you get there. I guarantee it. See, look, that blows some of you. Watch. What? I see some. I've got some great people here for the first time. They're going, was that irreverent? No, that's what happened. What is irreverent is taking this Bible and turning it into Disney. That's irreverent. That is irreverent. Because, see, we missed the miracle. God doesn't move in the fantastic. God moves in the everyday. To me, that's what's marvelous. God will meet you on the golf course. God will be there wherever you are, helping you overcome whatever you're in. There's the power. So we don't always get what we want. You know why we don't always get what we want? Sometimes we ask God for things that we want, so it's for our own pleasure. How many of y'all have ever done that? God, I really need this. How many of y'all have ever prayed? How many of y'all have ever talked God in or tried to talk God into something like, God, I really need to date this person. You need to help me. I hear something. Well, God needs to give me this person. God ain't going to give you that person. So why? I said, y'all don't get along. But with the help of the Lord, we can. I said, well, maybe the Lord's made somebody you can get along with. Go find them. Why do we always want what we can't have? And see, this leads to a bunch of problems, man, that keep us tied down. Jealousy, envy, strife, those things will mess you up. Young people, stay out of those too. I know nobody tells you about those, you know. We just deal with the biggies on y'all. Don't smoke, drink, or chew. Well, guess what? Don't be consumed with jealousy. It takes away your potential. Don't envy what somebody else does well. Celebrate it. And if it's a brother or sister in Christ, really celebrate it. The potential of God can be released. Yeah? Overcome. Second thing is this. Guess what? Excuse me, the third thing. I gave you, all right? This activates God's potential. You got to get rid of this. I got to get rid of this. We all got. Pride. Pride kills your spiritual development. God hates pride. And nobody's ever preached that real well. Have you noticed that, though? We stay out of that one. Why?
Because the whole nation said we should be
prideful. I'm proud to be an American. Well, I'm thankful for our nation, but above all, if I got the red, white, and blue, that's all I... Listen, if all I got in life is the red, white, and blue, I'm hell out of luck. I'm going to hell, wrapped in an American flag. Even voting Republican will not get me saved. Praying one of those, you know, prescribed prayers in the school like they did in 1963, that's not going to bring salvation. You can put the Ten Commandments in your yard and all that'll cause you to do is weed eat more. That's it. You got to get a relationship with Jesus Christ. And He wants to have one. And that allows you to overcome. Let me say something right here. It says God opposes the proud. He says, be careful, don't fall in love with the world. He said, God opposes... Is somebody hearing me? God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. How many of y'all have been prideful and say, God, I'm going to save myself my own way? Yeah, that's what we do. We say, God, I'll tell you what, Jesus might be all right, but I'm going to show you I can be good enough to get to heaven. I'm going to show you I'm going to do it my own way. God, I'm going to show you that what you've created is not what I can make. Well, what happens when we start thinking like that? Instead of overcoming, what happens to our lives? We become confined. God wants us to overcome. Everybody hearing this today? Now, I want to tell you this last truth. Quit being scared of the devil. He can't get you. If you're in Jesus Christ. Now, think about this with me for a minute. How's the devil mess with believers? Watch this. Can the devil take away your salvation? No, he can't take away anything he didn't make. He can't steal your salvation. Once you get your salvation, the devil can't get your salvation. Now, what's the devil going to do to believers?
Put doubt in your mind.
To doubt your what? Okay, you may use the doubting thing. Okay, I'm saved. So you start doubting you're saved, then what starts happening? You act according to your doubts. Yeah, you're exactly right. That's one of the things. But most of the time with believers, what does he want to do? It's a real simple little technique. He wants you to get wrapped up in your desires so you'll stay out of your God potential. That's what he's done to the church. The church gets concerned about the music and they get concerned about parking lots and buildings and structures. Is everybody happy? That's the one he's used in the Church of America. Is everybody happy? Now, for those of you that attended the Hillview for a long time, as your pastor, do I care if you're happy?
No.
Good. So you're very clear on that. For you new people, I just wanted you to know that. I care less if you're happy. I care less if I'm happy. So where does that leave you? And here's why. I don't have any mouse ears. Look how small my ears are. I could never be Mickey. See, this is the kingdom of God, and we've sung today that the kingdom of God shall what? Reign. We've gotten the church confused with Mickey Mouse. That's my theory. I studied Mickey Mouse when I did my doctoral work. Mickey Mouse is an interesting place. You know what I wrote about Mickey Mouse Land? It's a place where miserable families come for a week to pretend they have one. It's Fantasia. Fantasy. Because see, the Gospel of Mickey says this, let us all come together and be happy. And if we pretend there's no adversity, then there will be no adversity. I'm not saying Mickey's a bad thing. Every American needs to go there at least one time in their life. I've done my tour. I sure wouldn't want to live there forever. It was too clean for me. I wanted to just throw something on the ground. Where's the reality? This isn't real. See, mine's like mine the whole time going, this isn't real. This isn't the way life works. There's adversity in life. And guess what I found? The adversity many times ends up being the blessing. I know God works because I've seen God work in some very adverse moments. Pastor Mark Hale says this, a faith not tested can never be trusted. Jesus was put to the test on the cross. The victory was the resurrection. Do you reckon Jesus went through some adversity? I don't think it was fun on the cross. I don't think it was comforting, and I don't think Jesus had a good time. So God may have something more than a good time in store for us. Maybe He's got a full life in store for us. Isn't that neat? And look what He says. How do I activate God in my life? Submit yourselves then to who? God. Resist the devil and he'll what? He just told you how to get rid of him. He just told you. Resist him. You know what God's saying? I put the power of the kingdom of heaven in you. And if you'll resist your desires and listen to me, the devil will leave. Here's what I'm telling you. God's power is greater than devil's con. Here's the only thing the devil can do, is con you. Now, he's good at it. He's not co-equal with God. Y'all see these people wear these little yin and yang necklaces, you know? Half of us dark, half of us light. Well, that's a con job right there. This is not a 50-50 deal. God is everything, and there's a little spot of darkness in existence right now. That's called Satan. And he's like a little gnat. Here's the way I picture him. He's a gnat. How would you like to be a gnat for the rest of eternity? You know what I'm talking about? One of them picnic gnats. And that's what demons are. They're picnic gnats. To the believer. Now, how many of y'all have ever walked through a swarm of picnic gnats? You know what I'm talking about? All them little bugs. How many of y'all have ever walked through a bunch of them? Did it kill you? Did it irritate the fire out of you? Did it interrupt the picnic? Absolutely. Now you understand the demonic force on believers. Get you off God's desires into your desires, then you don't execute God's potential. If you release God's potential, what happens to your life? Whoa. Yeah. You live a life that is beyond the reality of humanity. That's really what it means to follow Christ. Wow. I'm done today. Did y'all get all this today? Did y'all get it? Y'all feeling it? It's real. It's a real gospel. I sure don't show up here on Sundays just because this is a job. This ain't my job. In fact, people ask me all the time, do you get paid to preach? I said, no. I said, the preaching's free. I get paid for putting up with you Monday through Saturday. Preaching's free. That's a gift of God. It reminds us to do what? Live out the potential that Christ has already put in our lives. Make sense? Anybody get this stuff today? Listen, I'm going to share my heart. Guys, listen. We've been at this now. This is my 16th summer with you guys. And y'all are beautiful people. And God's done great things in here. But guess what? Our church has never been totally together.
Isn't that wild? Look at what God's done. Can you imagine if we were all together at Hillview, what would happen? I'll just give you one right here. What if we all tithed? See, I'm going to see if you only live in God's potential. Here's God's potential. God wants you to do what He says do. Now, I know some of you are going, that boy's preaching about money. I'm preaching about tithing. God said, give me a tenth of what I give you, and I'll open the floodgates of heaven. The evangelical church, guess what our tithing rate is? 2%. So we're 8% disobedient for God, asking for full blessing. Why would a God hand a group of people a full blessing when they can't even be halfway obedient? I'm just showing you some stuff. God said, love your enemies. How many of y'all love your enemies? Three people, okay? That's good. What happens if you start loving people that you're adverse with? How many of y'all have ever tried to get somebody back? He's going to get them back, man. I'm telling you. Now, here's some brilliant humans. I'm going to get them back. They have messed with me. I'm going to what? Get them back. Now, what happens to you when you get that attitude? You become a daggum fool. Let me just have you a fool. That's all you think about. That's all you're consumed with. You miss out on all kinds of life and all kinds of opportunities. What did Jesus say, dude? Love your enemies. Forgive them. You know what Jesus was saying? Life's too short to worry about stuff like that. Remember what I started the sermon with? This doesn't last forever. Embrace the moments we have here and treasure God. And he finishes with this. Don't judge one another. Love one another. Look at the end of that scripture right here. He says this. He says, But who are you to judge your neighbor? Our job, we're not in the judging business. We're in the loving business, the blessing business, the encouragement business, the Jesus-focused business. If we stay in that business, guess what? Then God's potential will be released in our lives and we'll overcome a whole lot better. Make sense? All right. Everybody get this today? Okay, now you've heard it. Now we got to do something with it. What do you think? We're going to have two altar calls today. We're going to have one altar call for anybody who needs the Lord Jesus Christ, come up here to pray, repent, and all that kind of good stuff, wonderful things. Then we're going to have a second altar call today. We got a new church with us here today. What do you think about that? A new church. Hello? Y'all didn't hear me, did you? We got a new church here with us today. And guess where it's going to be? Hopkinsville, Kentucky. Any of y'all know anything about Hoptown? I remember people used to tell me they was going to send me there. Huh? Now, guess what? We got a new church starting. Pastor Dan's here with his congregation, the Core Seed. They're going to be connected to Hillview Heights Church. We believe in starting churches. In fact, we would like to plague every county in Kentucky with a gospel-loving church. Every county in Kentucky. Isn't that cool? We might even go to Tennessee after we finish here. Yeah, but guess what? People are going to need some churches that say, hey, man, it's about believing in Jesus Christ. It's about the cross and resurrection. It's about moving forward with gospel. It's about getting better. We need every church we got. Amen? We need those real religious churches. Why? There's real religious people. We need those churches. I like them. Keeps them out of here. I just don't do good with real religious people. And here's why. They judge people. And that sends me into orbit. Because I'm a sinner saved by grace. And I can only preach because Jesus died. And if there is any good at me at all, it is because the Lord has put it there. And so I have a hard time pointing my finger at another human being, telling them how low they are. Because I know how low I am. And I think you'll never embrace the love of God till you come to the consciousness that you are a sinner, disconnected from God, just like everybody else. And your only way into a better life was Jesus. Man, once you become convinced of that, you want everybody to have it. Make sense? So this church in Hoptown, man, Pastor Dan, stand up, Dan, or raise your hand or whatever. Yeah, good deal. Dan's here. Y'all welcome him. We're going to pray over this new church. All right? They're going to launch. He'll be up here in a minute. Y'all see him. You see him, James. Okay, watch. And we're going to pray. This church is going to launch in 1st of October. They're going to have it first wide open somewhere in that time zone. And guess what? We're going to pray that, man, they're going to be running thousands of people. Cool deal. I want to share my heart with you guys. Let's keep coming together. We're on our way. The devil will try to fight that. He can't win. He's not going to win. He's thrown everything at this church you can imagine. He's not going to win. For one reason. If we won't quit, he can't win. I never realized until this point in my life why I love that song so much. Victory in Jesus. There's victory in Jesus. There's a line, I think it's in that hymn, and it goes like this. I remember when I heard it as a kid, it would hit me and rattle me. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Because you know what I know? Here's the potential to overcome. Jesus said. Get this. Jesus said. Lo, I am with you always. That's enough to make me say, cool. Because that means Jesus is with me no matter what the doctor tells me. Jesus is with me no matter what the banker tells me. Jesus is with me no matter what the President of the United States tells me. Jesus is doing something greater than I can do by myself. Amen? All right, well, we're going to stand up. It's a serious moment. I want all you believers to be praying because guess what? In the house today, there are people here yet to receive Jesus. So guess what we're going to pray right now? That they might make that decision. All right? Y'all go ahead and stand. Think about what we've talked about today. We got a great God. We got a God that wants to put His potential in you. We got a God that wants to love you no matter what. We got a God that is loving you. You ready? That God wants to reach out into your heart. Doesn't matter who you are or where you've been. God wants to love you. Why not make today the day of your salvation? God made it possible 2,000 years ago. You can connect with it today. Well, you need to tell God, God, I'm a sinner. Messed up. Wrote the Ten Commandments. Haven't done what you asked me to do. Just tell Him, God, today I know I've sinned. I know I'm done, God. I'm done. I'm at my wit's end. That's where you usually get. God, I want to be made different. So, God, I'm asking you to come into my life. Jesus, I believe you died on a cross and you've risen from the grave and I ask you to come into my life. What's God going to do if you ask Him to do that? Now, I know some of you are going, but Pastor, intellectually, I don't understand it. I don't understand marriage either, but I do it. I don't understand a lot of things. I don't understand spell check. I use it. I don't understand the mystery of romance. But I enjoy it. You know what? Jesus asked me to follow a whole lot more, doesn't He? Dr. Jamie, than he does to understand. I have discovered this. The more I follow, the more I understand. And the more I understand, the more I'm humbled by what I do not know. But I have found His name is Jesus. And He is enough for any living human being to release potential greater than the world's ever seen. That's what's sitting in this church. So I'm just going to ask us to come together and pray with me if you need to ask Christ in your life. If you haven't been baptized yet, guess what you need to be? Why? God asked you to do it. Thank you. It's that simple. I don't get this. You say you believe and you can't do the first thing He asks you? See, here's what I'm going to tell y'all. It's cheap grace stuff. You're not going to hear it at Hillview. The stuff that says I can kind of just be around God and everything's going to be okay one day. The Bible does not say that. The Bible says you've got to be saved. Not aware. Saved. By a loving Jesus who's willing to do it. So let's ask Him right now. Lord, we've prayed once. We'll pray again. Come on. Who is it today? Be somebody special. Just tell Him, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me my sins. Lord Jesus, I know You're real. Just tell Him in your own words. God, here I am. Come into me. He'll listen. His name's who? Jesus. He's already been speaking. 2,000 years ago, He knew you'd be here today. He knew you before you knew you. He knew you needed to be saved. That's why He said this. Father, not my will, but Yours be done. Jesus said, Father, not my desire, but Your desire. And if You desire to save Your creation, I'll be willing to be Your sacrifice. No greater love does anybody have that they lay down their life for a friend, much less an enemy. Oh, how He loves us. Amen. Well, listen, young, look at me. It's all right. Spirit's still moving. Okay, everybody cool? You're not panicking yet, right? The Holy Spirit's really moving right now. Don't let that freak you out. If you're a little uncomfortable, God's probably trying to, He's just tapping you like this, going, hey, we need to talk about this. I never liked talking to my daddy about things that I'd messed up on. But I can tell you this. I sure did feel better after I did. How many of y'all have had one of those experiences? So today you may need to just come to the altar and say, God, here's some things my life's messed up in. I want to ask You to correct it. Man, if you've been out there bashing people, if you're full of envy, full of shame, full of oppression and depression, God doesn't desire that for you. You don't have to have that. It's not intended for those who believe. Now, if you're not a believer, you're going to be full of that. You will not have an option to get out of that until you come to Christ. But for those of you that are in Christ, let God renew your mind. Amen. Live in the wholeness and fullness that's already in you. That's what's in you. That's what you're made of. So guess what? Altar's open. We'd love to talk to you about a relationship with Christ. Love to come and just pray with you. If you need to be baptized, let's get that done. Let's get that done. We got God stock coming up. Guess what? We got God stock coming up. I'm believing this. I'm believing this year. But hello, this year, God stock, you know what? I believe we're going to see more than 100 people baptized over at that old lake. Who knows? We might have Pentecost. It wouldn't surprise me that my estimation is so short-sighted by such a confused mind. God might baptize all of Barron County. And a few from Scottsville. A whole bunch from Warren County. God is powerful enough to draw people from Brownsville. God loves us all. Amen. This altar's open, man. It's your time. Come and pray. Hey, come on, look. It's raining outside. There's nothing better today than come to this altar and say, God, let's get things right. Let's just get them right. Amen. It's Jesus, folks. He loves you no matter where you've been. Let's go. Come on. In the name of Christ. Pray at this altar and let God love you in a big way. Amen. Come on. Come on. Come on. As you come, people have been saved today. Some more people are going to be saved today. It's people receiving the Lord right now. Come on, just let that Spirit lead you up here if you need to come. Come on. Balcony just down the steps, and that'll bring you right here to the altar. It'll bring you right here to the altar. All right? Come on, folks. God loves you, man. Let me have it. Who needs to come today and just get rid of some stuff that's been messing with you, man? God will take that away today. He'll take it away today. Come on, if you need to do that. Just let God have this moment. Come on, church. Come on, church.